Welcome to hour three of the NutraMedical Report. So, any other questions, JB?
I find your topic on the Planet X very interesting. I've heard about it before. I've kind of Googled it on the Internet. And, you know, you get vague information about it. But I think the person you have on right now is kind of giving us a better, clearer understanding. But I'm trying to understand just when is it. Is it really 2012?
We're going to talk about that. In fact, if you want to call back in with more questions, do call in. That number, 800-259-5791. We're going to talk about that in a few more minutes. And if you'd like to call back in after you hear some more, we're going to try to come up with some answers for you on some of these and give you a timeline. If we don't give you absolute dates, we'll give you a timeline of kinds of things to watch. So thanks for calling in, everybody. That's a little bit of news, and then we're going to get right into our program with John DiNardo. John, of course, being a Bell Labs research engineer, a physics teacher in high school, and training in physics and astrophysics, years of research on the plasma physics of our solar system and galaxy, and the Planet X issue, which is a major area in astrophysics. It's not a peripheral area. It's one that actually goes right back to the originators of our main telescope technologies and astrophysics itself, like the Lowell Telescope and the Lowell Observatory. And John DiNardo, John, as we approach 2012, what do you see as the coming events in the next year or so? Because it's going to be obvious that they can't suppress the visualization in Australia and South Africa and the southern hemisphere of the presence of this large, imposing object coming into view.
Well, I've been following the weather anomalies, the increasingly severe weather that's been occurring over the last few years, and videotaping severe weather reports from the Weather Channel, and I see the jet stream is portrayed daily, and it's becoming more and more undulated, extremely undulated, to the point now where cold air masses from Canada are coming down, all the way from Canada down into Mexico. And it was never this extreme before, so I see it getting worse and worse in terms of the jet stream. And, of course, this is caused by the increasing activity of the sun blowing out these electric particles, plasma particles, which are sort of can be visualized as glowing red dust just for the sake of visualization. But, in fact, these are electrified particles, and they constitute electricity because they are any electric particle in motion is defined as electricity. And when an electric current, such as that being blown out by the sun in all directions, when these currents intersect a magnetic field, it's a common phenomenon taught in all physics books that a magnetic field that is intersected by this electric current will actually push the electric current to one side. This causes the magnetic field to actually do work. And essentially, the magnetic field then is doing work against this electric current that's blasting at it. In turn, it's causing a disruption and a loss of energy from the internal source of the magnetic field within the Earth. That's the Earth's molten lava. Getting back to the weather, we see these extremes occurring because of the undulation in the magnetic field, which is causing undulations in the jet stream. Now, the events that are occurring then, we're going to cause such geological events to occur as earthquakes.
And that's why, of course, we see a lot of the chemtrails. It's not just spraying us with toxins like Morgellons, bacteria, and so on. They're trying to control the weather like holding onto a bucking bronco, and they're trying to play with it with their supercomputer modeling because they don't want to tell the public that they make the excuse that it's carbon dioxide when really human beings have no effect on the climate whatsoever. It is totally due to the sun, geothermal activity under the oceans, and the change in the geomagnetosphere that lets high-energy ultraviolet light through into polar areas.
Yeah, I've always suspected that these chemtrails were some sort of a shield or a sunscreen, more or less, to block the solar winds that are being blown toward the Earth.
They put it actually in the children's readers as, quote, a sunscreen against ultraviolet. But where they're putting it is not where they were going to plant it about 35 years ago, 40 years ago. The place where they're putting these barium salts is at around 73,000 feet. It's not the low jets that you see with these chemtrails. Those are a different type of chemtrail altogether. The ones at the high altitude you don't see, and they take 2 to 3 years to fall. They don't fall in a matter of weeks or days. Those particles put up there last for years, and they circulate around the entire planet, and they form a layer that radiates into the Earth more heat and actually protects it from these other types of radiation, which is why they're putting it up there. And so when you see these things, there's a lot of programs going on that they don't tell a thing to you, even though they have an office in Congress now for weather modification, they won't tell you. So what do you see happening now? To summarize, and as we get toward the 2012, here's what I see. Number one, we're probably going to see a change in the magnetic pole, which is disrupting the movement of birds and the bees. The bees are already being poisoned by genetically modified food like Bt, the Bacillus thuringiensis gene, which jumps into their gut bacteria and poisons them, turns a little gut into a pesticide factory, neonicotinoid pesticides, electromagnetic pollution, and now the magnetosphere of the Earth is how they navigate. They navigate based on the magnetic, like a little compass in their head. It's called a magnetophore. And this magnetophore basically allows them to magnetically govern with the sun to get back to their hives, so they can't get back. And then we have, on top of that, we have evidence of the colony collapse disorder as one of the things tied with the sun. That's very, very evident. That we have famine, which is already happening as we speak. Superstorms, we're planning, there's 15 superstorms and 8 hurricanes planned by the NOAA, National Oceanographic Administration, and their center in Colorado and in Boulder, with their supercomputer analysis of the weather systems. But you're going to see a lot of things as this solar cycle 24, which started January 4th, and it started real quiet with the sun, super quiet in the first couple months of this year. It's going to really speed up. I expect you're going to see the main thing we're going to find is superstorms, earthquakes, and famine. 2012, I don't think a whole lot's going to happen right at that particular date or time on the 2012, and a lot of people are going to be like, Y2K, see, ho-hum, nothing happened. And then all of a sudden in the next months and maybe several years, when as it passes the Earth, this, quote, dwarf star and its debris that comes with it, we're going to start seeing some major things that are going to start hitting the Earth. We're going to start seeing comets, asteroid belt, chemicals trail, major geoclimatic changes, superstorms of unbelievable levels, plasmatic discharges. Probably around, I'd say, between 2013 and 2017, things are going to get rocking. I mean rocking seriously. As it says in the Bible, the earth shall sway like a hut, and it shall fall, and every mountain shall be moved out of its place, and every island. Well, that's kind of serious. I mean, if it's in your Bible, and it's the word of the Most High, then you have to take it seriously that this, combined with the science of what we know as cataclysms are the nature of our world, it means that we're heading toward a time of the end of the age. So the end of the world as we know it is the beginning of the world as you don't know it. So tell us your take on that, John.
Well, the earthquake activity, I've done a little study on the U.S. Geological Survey's earthquake reports, and I found that in the last quarter of 2007, we had earthquake activity. And actually, it was able to calculate a number that is proportional to the number of the earthquakes and the magnitudes of all the earthquakes summed together. And the last quarter of 2007 showed about triple the earthquake activity of all previous quarters going back several years. So this was really a severe earthquake quarter in the last quarter of 2007.
Let me say something in response to that. That's really important what you're saying there. I talked to Stan Day, who was using the naval data on the temperature of the oceans to figure out, based on his piezoelectric model of triggering earthquakes, and they stopped posting it up, so we can't use his predictions anymore, because the earthquakes were increasing very rapidly, and his model was the most accurate model for picking up the oceanic differences in temperature along the tectonic plate lines from looking at the ocean satellite data, and he was very accurate.
With his
model, yeah.
In the last half of 2000.
And he told me that when they took it out,
surge earthquakes.
Yeah, he told me that they didn't want him to be able to post up information that people around the world could then get, quote, frightened to the presence of this data and the coming super earthquakes. So if you're living near a fault line now, like the San Andreas Fault in California, if you're living near fault lines anywhere in America or around the world, you better look out, because it's going to start moving real soon. In the next 6-7 years, it's going to get crazy. You need to know it really is happening. It's not a theory. This is the agenda of the Reality Zone here. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with more on the 2012 and what's really happening. It's our analysis to date and your questions. 800-259-5791. Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. I want to hear from John DiNardo, but we're going to just have a quick cameo here on our Cartavite. Back to John DiNardo. John, obviously these events are going to shake history. We're going to see a lot of movies. There's a new Emmerich movie, the guy that wrote the movie 10,000 B.C., The Day After Tomorrow. He's writing a movie that will be available, I guess, the spring of next or summer of next year, 2009. There's a lot of people are going to put an awful lot of disinformation about this, and there's some very serious dangers. Plus, the government's not preparing the population in coastal areas because we have the danger of tsunamis, major changes in waterways, the possibility of earthquake zones not properly being protected. The food supply of the country is not being protected. People are not, they're switching things over to gasohol production and not protecting the, keeping the fuel prices low enough so that the truckers and farmers can continue to do their job. And we're technically in a catastrophe sitting right now because if the farmers and the truckers can't stay in business, if you say, if you get it, if you buy it in a store, it got there from a truck. And if you eat it, it had to have a farmer with a combine, or some farm machinery with diesel in it. And if it's $4 a gallon, it's not going to get to you, and you're going to go to the store, and the shelves will be bare like Mother Hubbard's cupboard.
Well, in response to your question as to when do we will we see an increasing tempo and intensity of these geological disasters, I would say ask all your listeners to watch the Weather Channel and look for the undulations in the jet stream, because this is all scientifically connected to earthquakes.
Right.
And other natural disasters. So if, as you see these undulations get worse and worse, you'll see on the leading edge of the this trough that, that dips down, massive cold air being swept down from Canada on a trough, and it goes as deep as Mexico and as deep as the Gulf of Mexico. On the leading edge of it, that's where you get this clash of cold air from the Canadian air front and the warm air that's sucked up on the, by a sort of a low-pressure area from the Gulf of Mexico. And so when the warm, moist air meets the cold air, you get this clash of extremes, cold and hot, and it produces large hail. So watch for large hail storms, flooding rains, and all the natural disasters that in turn, this undulating jet stream is the cause of earthquakes.
Yeah,
because
but also
it's
you're
not
going
really
to see
a cause, but it's actually a reflection of the geomagnetic field that is being drained of its energy by the blasting of solar winds, and as a result, the Earth's rotation becomes very irregular, jolting and jerky. And when this Earth's uniform rotation becomes jolting and jerky, that's when you get the earthquakes, because we have tectonic plates that float on a gelatinous inner core. So you can see the basically a shadow of the forthcoming earthquakes by simply watching the Weather Channel and seeing these undulations in the jet stream, which are sort of a shadow or reflection of the Earth's magnetic activity.
Absolutely.
Rotation of the Earth.
As it says in the book of Luke, it says, you know, when you see all these signs, including the signs in the heavens, hold up your head because your redemption is drawing. Don't be in fear, people. You can do things about it, and a lot of it is requiring a lot of prayer, but you better start preparing for things happening. Get your food, get your house in order, get out of debt. We will be back in just a moment. Your questions, 800-2000. Welcome back, and we are working with Steve Shank and others trying to improve your communication. There's a list of skill sets that I think that we should have, groups of people that need to start thinking about coming together and have escape plans. You don't have to leave the cities, but you have to have a route to get away if things start to get crazy. We could have something as simple as an attack against the Bashar reactor. And if you look at some of the news articles that I posted up here, the Israelis are now literally training their population to deal with a possible chemical attack, and they say they have no defense against it. These things, an attack against the Bashar reactor and the mining of the Strait of Hormuz, which I see as one of the most likely things to happen in the next year. Could happen as early as this month or during the fall before the elections, because they want to drive the price of oil to $150 to $200 a barrel. They want to weaponize your food, and it's part of an agenda, not a conspiracy theory. It's an agenda. And they want to keep you ignorant about the fact that there are going to be increased earthquakes, so they're not moving populations away from the coastal areas or fault lines. They're certainly not telling the population about what's really going on, and the famine is on now. This is the second year now, just transitioning to the third year when we're technically in a famine. food riots in Haiti, Algeria, and 30 nations altogether as speculators try to grab up the food. And I expect that 2012 will be like the Y2K. People will kind of say, nothing much happened. Of course, in the meantime, we're going to have lots of tsunamis, earthquakes, and other things. And the famine situation is going to get considerably worse. They want to chip and control the population because they see the cataclysm is getting so serious that they want to hide, literally, like it says in the Bible in Revelation 6, in the rocks and the deep places of the earth while the rest of us get fried by the collapse of the magnetosphere and the ozone hole punching through and causing the death of the phytoplankton in the upper oceans, causing a regrowth of the dinoflagellates that will make the oceans turn red like blood, like in ancient Egypt, and then also destroy the grassy plants in the northern hemisphere and on one-third of the trees, which is exactly as the proportions based on a serious drop in the ozone hole. So I expect that between 2012 and 2017, something of those kinds of events are going to happen as the Earth shakes and twists like a hut, and there are literally continental drift and movement and super tsunamis that occur. They will probably try to use war as a tool to try to cover what they're planning on doing and try to hide with their selected populations underground, like this Horizon Project. Tell us your take, John, on what you see coming between 2012 and 2017.
Well, it's the earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, tsunamis are certainly going to increase. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We know that basically there's a very compelling piece of evidence, and it all relates to the field of science, and that is gravity. People might ask, why would you think that some large body is coming into our solar system? It's very simple, gravity. You have the sun, which is extremely massive, and the more massive an object is, the greater its gravitational pull. You also have this Planet X, which is being pulled in, it has been telescopically sighted as approaching into our solar system. It's being drawn in by gravity. So that's a very compelling piece of evidence that will make you understand that the objects are being drawn in toward the sun, and as they pass by Earth, their gravitational forces and electrical forces on the Earth are causing these disasters. But what I wanted to say was, as it comes in closer, we're going to see more and more of these cataclysms because the gravitational force and the electric fields, magnetic and the plasmatic discharges will increase as it comes closer and closer because distance is the key factor, the most influential factor in the gravitational and electrical forces between Earth and this coming passing comet. But what I want to tell people real quickly in these last few minutes is how they can protect their lives, the lives of themselves and their loved ones. There's two things we can beware of so that we can get away from them in time, and that is the earthquakes and the tsunamis.
Right.
If you look up a guy named Jim Berkland, his name is spelled B as in boy, E-R-K-L-A-N-D, Jim Berkland. Find his website. Do a Google search. Find his website, bookmark it, and access his website at least once a week. Now, unfortunately, he goes by planetary alignment, and he doesn't know much about the electrical nature of the solar system, and that's why you also have to go to James McCanney's website. That's spelled M-C-C-A-N-N-E-Y. Just do a search on James McCanney and go to his website and listen to read his information and as well as listening to his radio reports. And he can tell you when possible earthquakes and other geological events may occur. Thirdly, for tsunamis, those who live on the East Coast, you have to go to this website, Volcano Live. Volcano Live. Click on Breaking News. Go there, bookmark it. Go there once a week and look for Cumbre Vieja. Just remember the word C-U-M-B-R-E because it's easier to remember than the whole name, but C-U-M-B-R-E. And if you see that as starting to become active, smoldering, emitting lava, then watch out. I would say take a day trip.
Get at least 100 miles away from the coast. And the reason for it is this. If it increases dramatically, just like there was a lot of spewing, I'm sure, before the people in Italy saw the volcano about to spew. And by the way, it's not that very far from along the coast area of Rome. Do you remember that story about the volcano and how it blew off?
Yes. You're talking about the ancient eruption.
Yeah, the eruption that occurred around
Pompeii.
The Pompeii explosions, the people could see it spewing for weeks beforehand. And if they had known any science, they would have left the area. But they were covered with an ash cloud and superheated gases that were 600 degrees, traveling at around 400 to 500 miles an hour. A little hard to outrun that on a pony or on a donkey or a camel or any horse or anything else. So,
but if they had left 2 weeks earlier, they would have
been fine. They just had to be a few miles away. They were fine. Just like people survived Nagasaki and Hiroshima because they're just on the right side of a building or they're just a few miles away. All these things can be survived, whether it's getting your food supplies with eFoods Direct, getting out of debt. If you have a home and can sell it, sell. Get your money out. Get yourself into something that's solid, silver and gold coins, other instruments. Get out of a paper of any kind. Get yourself supplies. Get your wellness supplies and get yourself ready with Run and Go Pack. And start thinking about getting together a place where you can be, not necessarily on your daily day, because there's going to be a transition. This is going to take years for all these events to happen, but you better have a place to escape to, you and your friends of like mind, that can be outside the city, that can protect each other, that can supply and entertain and care for each other if something bad happens. Because society could well fall apart. And the globalists and the COG, the continuity of government, and I know this from talking to experts here in Canada and experts in the United States and around the world, that the plan is to have continuation of government. They're not even concerned about the judiciary or the Congress. Their COG plan, in fact, even told the Senate Armed Services Committee chairman, you don't need to see this because it's too scary. And here is the Senate Armed Services chairman, and this is the executive branch telling them that they don't need to know what the plan is. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yes. I mean, you can see, we know the criminality of the people in government. They're just totally out of control. So we have to start thinking and be depending on God, our Savior, to guide us with our thoughts.
Right. Well, the reason is that,
so that he can guide our actions and our thoughts.
They think that, number one, it's like a lifeboat in triage. They figure, well, we got 300 million Americans, but we can store 20 million underground, so we won't tell people how to survive above ground. We'll just simply sail along and make a matrix and give them all chips and track them and then shove the ones that cause trouble into detention camps if we go to martial law. And then when there is a war, which we'll probably try to start on purpose because we've been arming our enemies for decades, then we'll go hide ourselves underground just at the right time so in the passing of Planet X, we'll survive. And that's what their plan is, people. That's what I, you know, without all the details, well, that's what I believe. They're going to use the climate shift and a war and pestilence and other things to hide while all this passes and wipes away the slate clean and kills most of us above ground.
And that's why it's so important that people take their own lives into under their own control, start looking, following these measures in detecting
and prayer to the Most High.
Volcanic eruptions.
Yeah, prayer to Yahweh Elohim, our Most High Creator. They better start praying now, as I say, get down in your face, everybody. If you don't know your Creator, you better hope there is one and start praying and asking Him to speak to you, because in the next decade, between 28 and 2017, it's going to get real crazy. And we're going to see increasing situations from famine to superstorms to tsunamis to earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars. Right now we have food riots in different places like Haiti and around the world. This is a prelude, as Yeshua said. These things are not the end yet, but they are a prelude, a warning sign. The birth pangs are here. We're in the delivery room for planet Earth and the souls of men about to be delivered. We will be back tomorrow with another amazing show with Pastor Butch Paw and much more. Stay tuned every day, 2 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday.